can't tell you how excited I am. Why do you keep these things from me?
I didn't want you to know because you would get so excited you wouldn't be able to breathe.
It hyperventilates.
But Richard Lewis, the Richard Lewis, is sitting right over there.
Don't build me up too much because the pressure is...
You don't want a big buildup?
It's unbearable, the pressure.
They truly didn't tell me you were coming in. This was the hugest surprise today.
Didn't tell me either. I was sleeping. I'm on LA time. It's 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Hawaii, it's midnight.
Yeah, but you have missiles in Hawaii.
I'm not going there today.
Not today.
Not on
you
this
refuse?
Tour.
No, no, no.
Yeah, watch the news, watch the comics at night. I'm just all about Richard Lewis. It's true. After 48 years.
It should be.
It's all about me and the audience.
Richard Lewis is performing at Zany's this weekend. We'll give you all the information or go to Zany's.com. You said right before we went on.
There's tickets left on the roof. You can listen with a stethoscope. This has been the greatest city in my career.
Has it? Honestly, yes. I hope it has.
I've planned it over 40 years.
Yeah.
I just connected with the audiences. I love the city. Yeah. I love everything about it, mostly.
Could you live here?
Mostly.
I could live here May 2nd to May 18th.
Not the rest of the year?
No. It's too cold.
It is a little brisk.
But that, the 2nd to the 18th.
The best.
When the sun's out, people are walking up and down the lake. The greatest.
Mm-hmm.
It's right up there with Rome. For me.
Chicago
really.
And Rome.
No, it's one of the world's great cities.
Yeah.
No, I could live here, but I'm from New York and I moved to La La Land, so
yeah.
And I'm 70, so where am I gonna move to? Gurney Towers? I'm set. I'm set. My wife, my rescue dog, we've got a nice ranch house somewhere in the state of California.
Undisclosed location.
It has to be at this point.
Right.
What kind of rescue dogs?
It's a Maltese mix.
Oh.
It's so beautiful. It's like if she was, and I say this consensually because I know she loves me.
Yeah.
She was 5'10 in heels, I'd run off with her. I love my rescue. And I never had a dog.
No, it's your first ever.
In my 60s, I got, and I just never realized. Now I get it. I get it.
Best thing ever.
The best thing ever. They just want to be, and when you rescue them, man. They just want to be loved and taken. And I'm a little needy. I need her to say, I was on the streets for 3 years, and thanks for this Tempur-Pedic mattress. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, on one hand, she's a diva. On the other hand, she's so needy and loving.
Yeah.
But I talk to her when I'm alone. Is that nuts?
No.
I meditate.
But Bill doesn't have a dog.
I'm not a dog guy.
I wasn't either, but now when you see how, I'm not even, I'm a spiritual guy. I'm not a very religious guy, but now I see lizards. Hi, honey. Hi.
Can you do me a favor? Explain the difference to me because
I wear black.
No. No, I don't want to know why you wear black.
Yes, you do. It's burning.
I like the mystery.
When I die, I'm going to drop a little thing like Orson Welles did in Citizen Kane.
A globe? A glass
A globe. The answer on a sled. Like anyone gives a crap. Well, you can ask me.
Off air, I said to you, what's the dumbest question anyone's ever asked you? And you said, why do you wear all black? And we figured out it's because you are the son of Paladin.
Right. That's Western. Yeah.
Right. From the 60s, 50s.
For those of you who were 12.
Right.
Yeah, no, he always wore black. Have Gun Will Travel.
Yeah.
It's a cool show, man. Richard Boone, I think it was.
And then some people said that when he played Heck Ramsey years and years later, he was still Paladin, but he had changed his name to Heck Ramsey. Do you believe that?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
Nope.
I thought it was Phyllis Diller he changed his name to. He went through some changes.
Right.
I loved her. Didn't you love her, Phyllis Diller?
She was like a mother to me.
Was she?
Honest?
To my wife. I got married, I don't forget now, 13 years ago. We've been together 20 years. And it was really cool to be able to... I came in at a time where I was... With the old iconic comedians were like in their 50s.
Yeah.
And they are late 40s, 50s maybe, early 50s. So they dug my work.
Yeah.
So I got to become friends, really close friends. I mean, Sid Caesar and Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and Jonathan Winters became like a surrogate father. My father died very young. So it's pretty wild. That's why Chicago is important to me, because you had to go through Chicago and Phyllis, of course, all of Dick Gregory. So, I mean, you had a score here. It's in the middle of the country, but that to me, I'm not sure what that means as much as that this city is just, they're very discerning. You can't fake it here, man.
Right. It has to be genuine.
Real genuine.
Since you bring up Mel
Brooks. And I'm so genuine, it's scary.
The king of genuine.
Yes,
you're the king of genuine.
Well, the prince of pain, but who's talking?
Is Mel Brooks the greatest storyteller of all time?
I think right now, well, I, he's he's so iconic, it's hard to put him in any category. I mean, I think just when you talk about stories, mm-hmm. with how many he's done and mm-hmm. how prolific, Larry David for our generation with the Seinfeld storylines and now with Curb, mm-hmm. he's right up there as well. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm on Curb from time to time. But, I mean, they're great storytellers, like Norman Lear. But Mel... I mean, he's just, he's crazily funny. Crazily funny.
So of those guys...
You know, by the way, when I was on a TV show this morning, I have no idea where I was. I was half asleep, but it was fun. Oh, WGN.
Yeah, the morning news.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah. And, of course, they always
great
show...
Great bunch over there.
Yeah, they're cool. And they show, of course, There I Am in Robin Hood Men at Tights 25 years ago. And I remember I was courting Don Rickles to create a show, a partner and I, and we didn't last, but I got food poisoning, and I had one scene left to shoot for Mel with Dom DeLuise, who I loved, and the sheriff of Rottingham and me. Both those two actors were passed. It's all crazy, man, when that happens. But so I'm in the hospital. I'm like jaundiced. I look like a Jewish, slight jaundiced Jewish submarine missile. It was unbelievable. And they kept me in there for 5 days. My fever was raging. I was like, you know, sardines were trying to, you know, go out with me from the tank. So Mel called 15 times. Richard, Mel, I love you. I know you're yellow. We're going to pick you up. We're going to paint you. We're going to pick you up in a stretch. We're going to drive you over to the studio. We're going to paint you again if too much yellow comes out. We're going to lean you up against a piece of board. You'll do your one line, and we'll take you right back to Cedar Sinai. I kept hanging up on him 15 times. And then my doctor came in. He finally says, Mel, you can't do it. Luckily, I had finished the movie, and it was like a one-liner that the sheriff handled. I mean, he hardly needed me. I missed this being not in the scene with Dom DeLuise doing his Brando impression, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's out of... I flew with him once. I didn't know he was on the plane. It's like when you run into people, particularly when you're younger.
Yeah.
Like with him or Rodney Dangerfield, they work the entire plane.
Oh, I bet.
The entire... Sure. Like it's a lounge in Vegas.
Yeah.
Walking up and down the aisle and everything.
Way young. Way back in my... I stopped drinking in 94, but back in the 80s or 70s, I was friends with Rodney. He's a big drinker, too. And it was one of these 747s with a piano bar.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it.
Mm-hmm. That was standard
issue. And I was sitting next to Neil Simon.
Yeah.
And he was, like, looking at his notes. He wouldn't say anything. So all of a sudden, I hear him about 2 hours in, and he knew me, Neil, but I thought, wow, Neil Simon, 5 hours. He went right into his work.
Yeah.
So then I heard in the front of the cabin, hey, I'll have another one, you know? I went, Rodney. He was like the savior.
Yeah.
So I went over to him. I went, Rodney, I'm sitting next to Neil Simon. He won't say anything to me. So Rodney says, hey, I'll take care of that, Richard, you know? And he came back and just chastised.
Did he?
Neil Simon? In a funny way. And then he said, let's go up to the piano bar. And that 3 hours is a blur.
I can imagine.
That's a blur.
Hold that thought. Richard Lewis is here. He's performing at Zany's this week. The great Richard Lewis. Go see him. Zany's.com has all your ticket information. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, look who's here. It's Richard Lewis. You're going to be at Zany's.
Bacteria.
You do? Do you take a probiotic?
I take every otic.
It's really good for you.
Near the Arctic Circle.
Yes, they
those
are.
Those are otters.
You're thinking of otters, but circle gets the square. You're
you know,
close
you'd
enough.
Think after 70 years you'd know something.
I can't believe you're 70. Can I just say that?
Well, I've been doing this since for 48 years. What am I supposed to do?
Can I tell you the first time I ever saw you?
It's none of your business. Of course, buddy.
You played a character named Billy Gundola on Billy, Portrait of a Young Comic.
Diary
on
of
NBC.
A Young Comic.
Diary of a Young Comic.
SNL.
Yeah, it was hysterical.
It still holds up, and it's on one of my many DVD things, but it's a cool thing.
You and Linda Carriage, was that her name?
She played Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. It was very enjoyable.
Oh, no, the premise was cool. The premise was real, too. It was about a guy from New York going to L.A., thinking he had to move there,
yeah,
and to try to find his authenticity, and he goes on stage, he tries different things, and he sucks. Really, can you say that now?
You can say that now, yeah.
He sucked,
And, just don't say asshole, okay?
Yeah, that's true, man. I don't want to think about it, what's going on. And I think about it privately and whatever. But he goes on stage at the end, and he talks about what happened in the movie, his real life, and gets laughs, and he realizes, and I realized too as a kid, that whatever I say about myself is what's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
To stay authentic. I tell that to any, you know, it's hard not to preach when you get older, but most young comedians, when I say, you have your own life, it's there's no easy way.
Right.
Talk about who you are.
Yeah.
If you're gifted or not, whatever, you know, the jokes will come, but about you, and no one can steal your DNA.
That's great advice.
That is good advice.
It is the best advice.
Such solid advice. Did your career change overnight when they showed that?
It was not really. No, it was a big deal. I remember Robin and my girlfriend at the time, and who was in the movie, a famous actress from Scandinavia.
Myrna Loy.
No, it was Nina Van Pallet. Baroness. And,
oh, yeah.
But we all hung out at this famous deli in L.A., Cantor's, and we were all watching it, and Robin stood up after the show and did about 90 minutes spontaneous on my table. It was a beautiful moment. But no, it didn't. Then there was a writer's strike for a year and a half, and then I did a pilot that was a horrible pilot, and it never made it. You know, I bounced from that movie, from that preempted SNL, to a pilot, and it was dumped. And I said, good, you know, I mean, I was... And then over the summer, they had, you know, failed pilots. That was a series. Watch one that was worse than the other tonight at 8. And they had a picture of two big stars. John Wayne was in one thing, and then the guy who was in Bad News Bears, I can't think of his name.
Walter Matthau?
Well, yeah.
No, he played it on TV. He was just a great actor. And they had
William
tonight.
William Devane?
No. Oh, you're going to get obsessive compulsion.
I'm trying to figure out who it could be.
Who was in Heaven Can Wait? Who played the coach in Heaven Can Wait?
Jack Warden?
Yeah. So there was tonight, John Wayne, Richard Lewis, Jack Warden, back to back to back, failed shows. I was a basket case when I saw that. I thought, it's back. It was like a Stephen King horror show. Get my face out of that. Then, of course, I called CBS and got a picture of it.
Oh, why not?
You even frame failures, because you're going to fail a lot in the arts. There's no guarantee.
No.
That's the other advice. You want to be in the arts, don't think about income, man.
Yeah.
You got to really love it. If it happens, it happens.
Right.
All right, I got to talk about this article that's in the Chicago Tribune. I'm seeing it online by Howard Reich.
This past Sunday, it was amazing to me. I was very humbled.
And you got a copy, because we can give you a copy of the Tribune. I have one at home. I can send it to you.
The hotel left me 300,000 copies.
Will that be enough?
And they're all walking around reading it. I said, it's 3 pages. It's about a pound and a half. No, it was... Howard Reich's a great jazz critic, and he just understood me from the 40-plus years ago almost. And, you know, I'm very humbled by the piece he wrote.
Would you agree there's a similarity between jazz and good stand-up comedy?
Well, yes. And no matter however you form your comedy, there's got to be tone and inflection and a rhythm to it.
Yeah.
It's closely associated to me because I don't have an act. I really don't have.
No.
I have no idea what's going to happen. I have thousands of pages of material that I usually take about 40 or 50 pages with me on the road and just stay in my hotel. It's all work, and then I cram it, and then I just pray it sticks in my brain, and then I ad lib half the show.
But I don't know if you still do this, but when I would go to see you in college
the sheet?
You would bring a sheet of paper up with you. Yeah.
It was about eight feet long. It had like 5 hours of new material or more.
Yeah.
I did it at Carnegie Hall and everywhere, specials. But then some guy, some manager, I've had about 100 managers.
Yeah.
About at least 100 and 220,000 agents.
It seems like a lot.
But my wife said, everyone did something, one good thing. I went, one guy I had for 22 minutes. And he said to me, don't bring the sheet up anymore. I said, hey, why? I did Carnegie Hall. I did 2.5 hours. I did this. Most of it's new material. He says, yeah, but it's a work in progress. I went, isn't that cool? That's a work in progress. He says, no, but the audience, it looks like. I said, but it hasn't stopped me from, you know, I did, you know, 50 or 60 letters. I was successful at my craft. But he says, but why don't you just try it the traditional way? And I did it one night. And my performance level skyrocketed.
Really?
I mean, I wasn't like looking down every second. I would look down and then I'd pop up, but then I can see 20 new So that's what I've been doing for the last 15 years, and it's horrifyingly hard to prepare for every show, because when I get picked up for the show on Wednesday night downtown, when I hear my name, there's this moment of like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I going to remember?
Yeah.
And of course, your memory at 70, I don't have to tell you. Lucky I remember the dog's name, Lassie. You know that dog, it rhymes with Fassy. What is it again? And she always came home because she always lost her bone or her doll under the pillow. What's her name? Crassy?
Something like that.
Yeah. Similar. No, so that's what I did, and I'm going to end my career never, no more notes. You know.
But as an audience member, it always said to me when I'd see you reach for that sheet, I was like, oh, this is maybe the first or second time he's doing this.
Did you really feel that?
Yeah, I loved it.
Well, that's cool, man, because that's what I always thought. I might go back to the sheets.
All right.
I remember once in Vegas, I was at the MGM Grand, and I used to get a baby grand piano. And the Teamsters were going, Mr. Lewis, where do you want this? And there were two guys were screaming, I have a hernia. And they were dying. One guy had a little that heart thing.
Arrhythmia.
Yeah, thanks. See? See what I'm saying?
Sort of Lassie. Out.
But they got it up there, and they said, Mr. Lewis, want to play something for us? I said, play? What are you, nuts? And I took out my six-foot-long paper. Yeah. It's just for this paper.
Just to put it on.
Yeah, well, they chased me out of the casino.
But, you know, the Teamsters did?
Yeah, and then with nightclubs, they had to get local carpenters to find a table 6x3. It was a nightmare. Like Pinocchio's father was my roadie. What was his name?
Geppetto.
You see what I mean?
played by Jack Warden.
Huh?
Played by the great Jack Warden.
That's not true.
No, that's not true.
Dare you lie to an older Jew who's on his way out.
Hardly.
It's so good to see you again.
Don't lie.
So good to see you again.
You always put pressure on me on here, and I wear black for it. Rosebud.
Right.
Finally, we know.
No, it's always great to be here. This is one of the great radio studios.
The whole world.
The station, of course, we know of it. But this studio, this setup. When I used to come here between May 2nd and May 18th, a lot of people out there waving. Now there's a guy going, where's my dog sled?
So nice to see you.
Yeah, good
you
luck too. Thanks at Zanies, for having Richard, me. Of yeah, course.
Break
anytime.
A leg. Say break a leg.
Break a leg, sir.
Yes.
Break a leg.
I'll see you on the rebound. I'm not going anywhere, man.
I hope not.
No.
I want you here. We need you here.
He said,
now
just listen to the news. Watch the news every night when I leave town at 11, just in case.
Perfect.
Nice to be with you. I love
Thank you, Richard. It's Richard Lewis. He's at Zanies. Go to zanies.com. All the information is there. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much.
It's nice
having Steve in the room, isn't
it?
By the way?
Yeah, it's nice.
We like when you're here.
The pleasure's mine.
Very nice. Trust Usually me. Steve is upstairs in the newsroom.
I like the bonding when we're
it's
all
nicer
together
when he's here.
For a little while.
Harder to talk about you when you're in the room.
That's
but
all right.
I'm going to do it anyway.
You make
concessions.
Yeah,
you're nicer when you're in the studio. It's kind of like social media. You know, if you're face-to-face with someone, you're not as mean to them.
That hurts a little bit.
It was intended to.
Oh. We didn't plug Richard Lewis's appearances enough, I don't feel.
Very nonspecific, just saying he was at Zanies, but specifically, tomorrow night and Thursday night, he's in Zanies in Chicago, the Wells Street Zanies, the original Zanies, 8 o'clock shows. Then Friday and Saturday, Zanies in Rosemont. So zanies.com will tell you specifically what the times are and the places are. But go see Richard Lewis. He's a national treasure. There, I said it.
We were talking off the air. You said that he was not the first wave of comics, like when he mentioned Phyllis Diller and Don Rickles,
yeah.
But definitely that second wave.
Well, for people in our age bracket, there were all those kind of legendary comics that had existed for years that were still around and working, you know? I could start mentioning names, but I don't want to leave anybody out. But you know who I mean. It's all your classic comics. But then he was one of the young up-and-comers that would, you know, show up on The Tonight Show,
yep,
or Letterman or something, and, you know, built a nice following. So when I was in college, I told Richard I went to see him three different times when I was in college, always at Zanies, and just marveled. The hour just flew by. He was just so frenetic and so fast-paced and so neurotic.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because he's more sedate now.
He
right?
totally he is.
I just realized, was it wrong to say I don't like comedians?
No, no, no.
Okay.
No, you do
hey,
like
Richard,
them.
I don't like comedians.
But I just know, who did we have here? You were filling in for Bill. Nick Swardson was one.
Oh,
who,
yeah.
Who you, that was a weird moment because Bertrand was taking pictures of him but looking the other way because he wanted to show his son. That was kind of weird.
Was I?
Do you remember
like,
that?
No, no, no.
You didn't say like smile. You were kind of looking the other way, but you lined up your picture and you took a picture of him for your son.
They're all so loud.
But Richard Lewis, it's so weird. You went to see him because you were a stand-up comic. I mean,
I wasn't yet, but I was considering it possibly as an option. But I was just a fan of his from seeing him on Letterman.
Oh, yeah. And girls went to see him. I saw him at the Park West a bunch of times because he was hot. I'm sorry. He had great hair.
Yeah.
He wore black.
Yep.
I don't know why.
Paladin. That's why.
But he just was, he really appealed to a whole bunch of different people.
Oh, without a doubt. So one day at another radio station, I was doing mornings at another radio station, and he came in. It was the day that Curb Your Enthusiasm first came out on DVD. So we got a stack of them for him to sign, and then we were going to give them out to listeners.
Nice. Right?
So he's signing them. This is off the air, and he's so excited that they've finally come out on DVD. And then he turns it over, and they show pictures of everybody in the cast except for him.
Oh.
And he gets so demoralized. And we're not on the air during this, but he goes, "Look what they do! Look what they show Larry, they show Jeff, they show Cheryl, they show." And he goes down the line, they show everybody but him.
Oh.
So he's so deflated because of this. And I go, "Richard, it doesn't. You get paid the same. People who will buy this will see you in it, and they will let. No, you're right. And then we go on the air, and that's all he wants to talk about is that
he's
everybody's picture. And that happened for the whole half
hour.
He's
so needy. Come on, he admitted that, and he really is.
I know,
and that sucks. He's the only one. Not on it.
It didn't seem fair to me, but he couldn't. And I get it. You're part of an ensemble cast. You want your recognition. But he was so inflated by that. And then he left and then came back. He had been gone for 5 minutes. He came back and goes, "I'm so sorry." He goes, "But I was sure my face would be on the back cover, and it wasn't on the back cover." It's okay. Don't worry. You're fine.
I haven't seen his stand-up in a long time, and it does seem like he's calmed down. He was crazily neurotic.
Yes.
That's what I loved about him.
Yes. So he's somehow figured out a way to harness it, still be neurotic, but not let it go overblown somehow. I don't know how.
It.
All right. We'll take a break. It is Tech Tuesday. We'll find out what's going on from CNET. That's coming up in just a bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, sorry. I was looking at my phone, which is a gadget, and it's a Tech Tuesday, and it all is together.
It all tied in. Very nice, Wendy.
Bridget Carey is back, senior editor at CNET, and she had some fun at the CES, which I'm sorry, I'm going to call the Consumer Electronics Show. That's what it is. Bridget, what did you see that you had to bring home with you?
Well, one tried to follow me home, but there was this piece of luggage, like a suitcase for like carry-on luggage, that had a camera, well, had multiple cameras in it, scanned me, was able to follow me, and drove itself. So it was like a self-driving piece of luggage that could also scan my face. And this is what we're now seeing. It was kind of like, you know, at this show, you see things that don't necessarily, like, are going to be products this year, but you see what the future holds in store. You
so
see
how
where people are thinking.
Something like that, Bridget, realistically, is it 2 years down the line, 3 years, or is it hard to even determine that?
It all depends, too, on like whether airlines will allow something with this much tech to even go on board a plane. But, yeah, I think this is the kind of thing where self-driving car technology was everywhere. And so why not put it in more things like luggage?
I like the luggage.
Facial recognition everywhere. You know, it was kind of like quirky how well it worked. But
you don't have to find your bag. It finds you. That's what I like.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of different kinds of ways of using smart AI and robots. People are trying to figure out the puzzle of how do you get that Amazon Alexa to have legs? How do you have like an assistant in your home that doesn't just sit on your countertop but actually can move around? And we saw robots that roll around that were kind of like part Roomba, where they could be a vacuum, but also like part Rosie, where they're huge and they have arms. I played soccer with one armless robot.
How'd you do?
That, I almost broke it. It was great. So this is like this is a robot that kind of goes up to your chest in height, and it is able to walk. It's just like it's very hard to have a walking robot that big, especially get up and down stairs, avoid obstacles in your home. They're seeing like something that could be a companion to talk to, but also kind of be a walking security camera. And it was able to track things on the floor, so it's tracking this soccer ball, and I'm just like very slowly kicking it. But it needs some work still because I kicked it to the side and so eager to chase it that it just started to topple and they had to catch it. So, yeah, I almost broke something that was worth the cost of a car.
Oh, good. You know? Very proud of you.
That's what I try to do at CES. But for the more realistic side of things, okay, you take a step back. What is this? This is how showing how AI smarts are getting better. Robots are knowing how to map your home. There's a lot of more rolling ones. They might not all have legs, but there was one that was kind of like an Alexa that was like a pod about goes up to your knees maybe in height, and it was like a roving projector. So you could say, hey, buddy, come into the bedroom and play Stranger Things on Netflix. And it would like be your security camera that also is a, you know, movie projector. You know, so like everyone's trying to like use this these smarts in new ways.
I saw something, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know if it's real. I saw it on Facebook, and it's something that you can call some kind of, there's some kind of contraption where if your dog or cat steps on it, they can call your phone and you can answer, and there's like a camera there so you can teach your dog or cat to press this thing, and then you can see what your cat's up to and say hello to it or your dog during the day while you're at work. Is that fake?
That's real, and I've actually seen the other forms of that too. Somewhere like, yeah, it'll activate a Skype call essentially.
Yes,
you know, although the owner's calling them. Of course, it depends on your pet if they're into that. I think the one that really took the cake for me, but besides the walking robots and everything, it was seeing Alexa, that Amazon voice assistant, in everything to the point where they put it inside of a toilet.
So you can have it flush?
Oh, not just flush, my dear. You can also have it freshen you up a bit.
Oh,
warm the
please.
Seat ahead of time. Oh, yeah. If you're going to make it talk, you got to have a couple things to say. So, yeah. Eventually, Alexa can clean your butt for you. Yeah.
I need to know her better. Come on.
This will work.
What does she say? There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Wow. What does she say? Oh, my God.
Yeah, they want to put Alexa in shower heads. And you go, okay, well, a speaker and a shower head, one thing. But then it's like they really see this world where everything just kind of talks and together, no matter where you are, even if it's on the can, right?
Hmm. Go back to driverless cars for just a little bit. One of the ones that I saw in a report, Bridget, I wasn't there, you were there, but it's a car, it is a driverless car, and they don't even put a steering wheel in the car. Like right now, every car, even the driverless ones, still have a steering wheel so you can adapt, but with this car, there's just no steering wheel.
I saw things that had some sort of steering wheel to pop out, at least if you wanted one, but as far as concepts go, I've seen a lot of concepts on the show floor that were all about almost like Minority Report controlling your car with hand gestures. And one of them took me back with how weird it was. When you tap a button while you're driving, you feel a tactile button. You want to have that knowledge that you actually press something on a menu. So how do you get around that without touching something? They have one idea where they'll send like supersonic sound waves. So it's not air, but it kind of feels like air. So like I put my fingers and I was able to move my fingers around and kind of feel, they call it haptic feedback. But I'm sorry, if I'm driving, I don't want little blowing feelings on my fingers, you know, that are really just sound. I want to like actually know I pressed a button. Nevertheless, this is what they're kind of experimenting with now. So that way, you know, if you're driving, or maybe you're not driving, maybe it's a self-driving car, you know, you don't have to actually touch anything.
You know, when we grew up watching the Jetsons, we expected everything in the future. And I got to be honest with you, I thought 2000s was going to be future, and we'd have the moving sidewalks and the cars that folded up. But now as I watch Black Mirror and that other one that I can't remember what it's called, the American version of it, you see these self-driving cars where it's like the Lotus doors, they open up, you sit in there, there is no steering wheel. I really believe what I'm seeing on Black Mirror is going to really be happening in real life, if not now, soon.
I heard Black Mirror like every hour I was on that show floor, because everyone's having that funny feeling right now of like, wow, technology's moving fast. Are we ready to keep up with it? I mean, think about it. We were promised self-driving cars, and we're telling our kids now not to eat Tide Pods. So I don't know if we're ready for it.
But keep in mind, most of those Black Mirror episodes end badly, don't they?
Yes, it's a depressing show. I try to stay away from it.
Yeah, so even though it's fun to go, oh, look, the future, it's right now, almost all of those end in disaster. So we need to keep that in mind while we're advancing.
All right, speaking of advancing, the Detroit Auto Show is going on right now. Some weird stuff in the way of cars. Please tell us about this.
Well, yeah, cars are more connected. It's more of a tech show more than ever. And one thing that stood out, I always get a kick out of these concepts, and Nissan has one where in the inside, we're talking about like having screens everywhere. There were 7 screens. You control them with hand gestures or your voice or even eye movements. But my favorite part about this concept car is that it has its own virtual assistant. That's a pet fish, a koi fish, that will swim around all these screens while you're giving your commands. So, yes, now cars come with their own pet fish.
All right, that is too weird, and it's going to cause an accident.
Is there a reason why? I'm confused about why.
Okay, the whole design inside was very Japanese-inspired. It looked like a very fancy sushi restaurant inside. This is supposed to be like a self-driving car. You're just chilling out. There's, like, screens all around you in the dashboard. And, you know, in this luxury future, of course, it's not real yet. It's a concept. But in this luxury future, it kind of goes hand-in-hand with what I saw at CES. Everyone's showing, have a bunch of screens in your face as you relax. But, hey, we have some wood around you, so you're not totally, you know, feeling like tech is taking over. We have a few wood panels around you, and the koi fish will make you feel at peace, you know, like, you know, not realizing that you're being bombarded with screens everywhere, right? I don't know.
What was that Microsoft Office? Remember that years ago they had a dog that would pop up on your screen and it would hold a sign like, are you ready?
Oh.
Was it Microsoft Office? Do you remember this or was this before your time, Bridget?
No. This is Clippy, but Clippy could be changed into a dog in other forms. So yes, Clippy the assistant.
Clippy! You know, the paperclip, remember that?
That one I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and now that whole concept we laughed at, it's back, but in koi fish form.
Wow.
All right, it's crazy. All right, did you get any cool gadgets for Christmas?
I'm glad to say I didn't get too many gadgets, because I have a 1.5-year-old and most of the gadgets are all toys that are talking to her now. So.
Did she get a fingerling? Is that what that's called? That goofy monkey that sits on your finger?
She didn't just get a fingerling. She also got the knockoff fingerling, which looks exactly the same. but yeah, they're everywhere. These little crazy monkeys.
I got to get you one, Bill.
And it doesn't do anything but just sits on your finger, or what does it do?
It acts like an adorable robot monkey would.
Oh,
You always wanted a monkey on your back. I had one for a while. I'll give it to you.
This is better. A monkey on your finger trumps a monkey on your back any day of the week.
Don't say Trump.
No, I'm sorry. wow. All right. Well, good.
Well, thank you, Bridget. Always nice to talk to you, and welcome back.
Thanks. Good to talk to you guys, too.
She is Bridget Carey. You can find her at CNET.com, senior editor over at CNET on this Tech Tuesday, which is sponsored by Illinois Tech Stewart School of Business.
Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You can reach us at any point during the show by calling or texting 312-981-7200. Under normal circumstances, if the President of the United States and an adult film actress were having some sort of an affair or an encounter, that would probably be the top story. Probably. Under normal circumstances. But here's a story of the current president and an adult film star having an affair.
Here it comes.
Having a situation. And it's nowhere near the top story of the day, is it? Nowhere near. Adult film star Alana Evans. Now, I just want to quickly say that the first we heard of this was over the weekend. Or actually, probably Friday.
Yeah, I think it was Friday.
Friday, right? All right. So that's
when it gets buried.
Right. You're right. So that's when we first heard about Stormy Daniels and her relationship, quote unquote, with Donald Trump. But now another adult film star is coming out to tell her version of it, and that's Alana Evans.
They're not the same people?
Different people.
Hmm.
Adult film star Alana Evans appeared to confirm an early report that Donald Trump had an affair with porn star Stormy Daniels shortly after Melania Trump gave birth to the commander-in-chief's youngest son. I heard you gasp.
I didn't realize he was married to Melania at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I don't even read news about Donald Trump anymore. I got to be honest with you. I saw the headline over the weekend, and I don't care.
But that's what I mean. A headline as spicy as President of the United States, mm-hmm. an adult film star, and you go, oh, I can't wait to read this.
That ain't nothing
but
now.
Yeah, now it's like, ugh, throw it on the pile.
Right.
Toss it on the pile. Shortly after Melania Trump gave birth to the commander-in-chief's youngest son, Barron, this took place in March of 2006. Evans told the Daily Beast, ironically, that she received several phone calls from Daniels, who was a friend, while she was in a room with Trump. This is her talking.
Boy, there's not a lot of action going on if you're on the phone.
No.
Hey, guess who's in my room? Guess who I'm with right now?
You would think
Donald Trump.
That during whatever was going on, every second was precious, but she still found time to place a phone call to a friend.
He does have little hands. Maybe she wasn't feeling it.
Wow. Wow. Stormy calls me 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
By the last 2 phone calls, she's with Donald, and I can hear him, and he's talking through the phone to me saying, oh, come on, Alana, let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. Come to the party. We're waiting for you. This, again, according to Alana Evans.
A
trustworthy porn star.
With a heart of gold?
I believe she has a heart of gold, Wendy.
Not all of them do.
No,
some
but she
do.
Does.
See, but that to me is just the bravado of one Donald Trump. Like, hey, come on over. It's
right.
A party. I don't know that he really meant it. And who knows if they were just having, you know, a ginger ale together.
I'm almost positive that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
He said, I've got ginger ale in the room.
Right.
Who's going to say no to that? Adult film actress Alana Evans arrives. Oh, this is a picture that I'm reading the caption of for no reason. So I just wanted to prove to you that I could read captions. So there I did it. Evans did not take her friend up on the offer, but then talked to Daniels the next day. Here's what she said. She tells me, all I'm going to say is I ended up with Donald in his hotel room. Picture him chasing me around his hotel room in his tighty whities. Yes, let's all picture that, shall we?
I can't do that.
Let's just imagine that.
My mind's eye is blind right now.
Then it's lucky. You have the luckiest mind's
eye. It just went blind.
You have the luckiest mind's eye in the city right now. I will read that sentence again only because no. I'm still trying to figure out why. Picture him chasing me around the hotel room in his tighty whities. I was like, oh, I really didn't need to hear that. Now, keep in mind, these are adult film actresses, Wendy, who have seen everything. If you're in the world of adult films, there's very little that will shock you. But here's one adult film star, Alana Evans, telling another adult film star, Stormy Daniels, I don't even want to think about that. That's too sick for me to even conceive of. Donald Trump running around a hotel room in his underwear. Thanks, but no thanks. I need to get back to work to rid my mind of this sickness. Then she said he offered her keys to his condo in Florida. He's very giving, very generous. And I was like, wow, guess you had a good night. And that was the last we spoke of it, Evans said. The Daily Beast published its story shortly after the Wall Street Journal reported that a lawyer for Trump helped arrange a $130,000 payment to Daniels that was essentially hush money so that she would not talk about an alleged sexual encounter with Donald Trump. $130,000, by the way, to not talk about. Please do not talk about it. Here's a check for $130,000.
Wow.
How do they come up with $130,000? I don't know. Like you say to yourself, I'm going to say $100,000 because that's a lot of money. That's a
I'd
bunch
start
of
at $150,000 and settle for $130,000. That's how they got
so
to
$130,000. That was their meeting. All right, that makes sense.
I'm not a good negotiator, but
wouldn't you shoot for the middle? Speaking of adult film stars, wouldn't you go $125,000 is right dead center? Let's go $125,000. Nope, I want $130,000, or I'm talking. All right, you get your $130,000.
It's five more. It's
right.
One louder.
Right, that's what it is. The Daily Beast report that it got its protracted talks with Daniels about an interview after it got confirmation from 3 sources that she had been involved with Trump. Now, a quick sidebar to this. Let's say you make this agreement, if you're Stormy Daniels and her attorney, $130,000, I won't talk about it, then are you allowed to acknowledge in any way, shape, or form that that payment came your way, or is that part of the hush money that you can't even say, yeah, I got money to not talk about it?
Bill, I have never been hushed, and I know.
And no money has come your way because of it.
No, but I would imagine the whole point of this thing is you get the money, you shut up, and you don't tell anybody.
You can't say anything.
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
I would imagine.
We should ask Rich Lankoff, our legal counsel, for the show.
All right.
Because, I mean, if you admit that you got... Because look at all these people that were allegedly paid off, like with Bill Cosby and other things.
Right.
We didn't know about it for years later.
Right.
So it's not like they're saying, I got $130 or $130,000 to shut up.
So you're part of the agreement in a hush money situation is... You can't say anything, and even if you're in a room with somebody and they go, just nod, I'm going to say some things, just nod or blink. You can't even do that.
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Or you'd have to give, there's obviously some kind of contract that comes with it, but perhaps if you speak or do something like that, you have to give the money back.
I saw last week Gretchen Carlson on a talk show. So Gretchen Carlson's situation was she got money with Roger Ailes over at Fox.
I forget who's part of the pieces now.
All right. So her deal was similar to this in that they gave her a sum of money, and I don't know what that sum of money is, but it's in the millions, to not say anything negative about what happened between Roger Ailes and herself. So she's on a talk show, and they asked her a question about it, and she said, but she was there because she got money to not talk about it. But she said, well, as you know, I can't go into detail. That's part of my agreement. But she was acknowledging the fact that something did happen. So that's kind of all we need to know. I mean, we could hear the sordid details, but we know it took place because there was money and because, you know, they wanted to quiet her. But she couldn't go into detail.
She got a good deal.
It was in the millions.
$20 million.
A good $20 million. So if she says, if she leaks any of the details of that, does she have to hand them the check back for $20 million and say, well...
It depends what it says.
I was on a talk show. They asked me the question, what could I do? She ultimately backed out. This is the Stormy Daniels situation. She ultimately backed out of on November the 3rd, just 5 days before the 2016 election. What does that mean, she backed out? Does that mean she didn't accept $130,000?
It sounds like it.
Adult film actress.
It is sexual.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That should have cost her extra. Or them extra. The Stormmeister. The Trump lawyer who allegedly arranged the payment, Michael Cohen, denied that there was ever a sexual relationship between Trump and Daniels, but didn't address the alleged payment. So is that his way of saying, well, there was nothing sexual going on. It was just them frolicking about in a hotel room. Please. This is a married man we're discussing here. Decorum.
Listen, I believe 100% that no sexual escapade happened.
Not for lack of his trying. He invited her up and took his clothes off and is running around a hotel room. What was he hoping was going to happen?
Just a little
fight?
Fun. Yeah. I don't think, you know, when push comes to shove.
That'll also cost extra.
Wait till we get to the stream. I see him as more of a guy who's all talk and no play. Like, I could see him.
This is an adult film star.
Yeah, but I think, come on, that's like, that would make him nervous. He'd have performance anxiety.
Maybe. But his way of handling it was then to invite a second adult film star to come up and join in the fun.
Because then those two could get busy and he could just drink his ginger ale.
I think he figures if there's two of them, it slows one of them down. He'll probably catch one of them.
I don't think he wanted to catch them because I don't... Again, performance anxiety. If all of a sudden a Stormy Daniels is in front of you, Bill.
Yes.
She's, you know, experienced. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Yes. Yes.
I think that would be intimidating to some people.
Even him, though?
Yeah, because if something didn't work, then somebody's going to talk about it, and there's weakness.
Oh, man. These rumors have circulated time and again since 2011. President Trump once again vehemently denied any such occurrence, as has Ms. Daniels. This is according to Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer. He said this in a statement. The lawyer also handed over a letter to the media, which appeared to be signed by Stormy Daniels. I'm guessing just the letter X. Or triple X, actually, in this case. Denying that she had ever had a sexual relationship with Donald Trump. I think Melania should sign that same piece of paper. Rumors that I have received hush money from Donald Trump are completely false, she wrote. Now, I wonder if part of the $130,000, you have to say that, although that's lying. I wouldn't do that. Even for $130,000, I'd go, no. I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to play that game. This was an uncomfortable situation for me, and it needs to be said.
How much did Monica Lewinsky get?
I don't think she got any money.
I don't either.
I don't think there was any money changing hands there at all. I don't think. I don't remember that ever being a story.
Well, she was willing to talk about it because that was her claim to fame.
Right. But couldn't she, if something happened, couldn't this woman, Stormy Daniels, really capitalize on this and either write a book or do some sort of a talk circuit?
I'm telling you, nothing happened.
No.
I think, you know,
just him chasing her around in a hotel room in his underwear, isn't that enough for
well,
to me, that's
enough if I'm Melania.
Yeah, yeah.
You did what?
Yeah.
When I was pregnant?
Right.
Get out.
Yeah.
Leave me the White House. Get out.
She would get the White House in a settlement?
Well, I don't know if that isn't works. That their house?
Temporarily.
They don't go there.
Right. She's usually in New York. All right, let's do this.
She should get both. Boy, that would just be crazy.
Well, they've got stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
They've got stuff everywhere.
I guess she wouldn't be without a house.
No, she'd be all right.
Stormy Daniels just got a new apartment.
Is that her name? I'm positive that's her birth name. I'm positive. So your career options are narrow if your name is Stormy Daniels. You could do radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be an adult film star. That's it.
Or a VJ.
Right. That's it. All right, let's take a quick break. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I'm trying to picture other U.S. presidents in a similar situation with an adult film star.
I'm sure Kennedy. I'm sorry. Marilyn Monroe was close. Come on. That's the first thing. JFK, but...
There wasn't
he
really...
He was a playa.
I guess he was.
He was a playa.
But there wasn't really in the early 1960s, there wasn't really an adult film star situation.
Seika, how long has she been in the biz?
Well, she's from the 70s.
All right,
but early 60s. Did that world exist in the early 1960s? There were what they used to call stag films, which were adult films that were watched by guys in convention-type situations.
That's where you watched them?
Yeah. Yeah.
What, you tell your wife you're going to a convention?
I'm going to a guy convention. Don't follow me.
Like the Moose Lodge?
Yeah, they were shown at Moose Lodges. Sometimes there was a moose in the stag film, or a stag.
No.
There were some animals. Just, because people like zoological things.
Not there, except for Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins ran the business. You thought he was all nice on the Mutual of Omaha, but he had a hidden side.
Loved him.
He had a hidden side. But I'm my brain is trying to think about Harry Truman chasing a woman around in a hotel room in just his underwear, holding up a paper that says Dewey defeats Truman. I can't picture it. It's too much for my brain to picture.
Vintage porn stars. Is that what you want to know? Where are they now?
Yeah, where are they now?
Oh, God. If they're Ron Jeremy's a vintage porn star, we're going the wrong way.
So the adult film industry, for the most part, kind of happened in the 70s. There were films, but it wasn't like an industry like it is now.
There had to have been somebody. There had to have been someone.
I don't think there was anyone famous in the 60s. I don't think.
Well, I didn't say famous.
That John F. Kennedy would take a liking to. He liked the mainstream movie stars. He liked Marilyn Monroe and people like that. He wasn't thinking adult films because there weren't adult films, really.
There had to have been, Bill. Sorry. Mary Pickford had a friend.
No.
Yes.
Don't say that.
She had a friend. I'm not saying Mary Pickford did it.
She did not.
She had a friend who had issues.
Silent adult films back then.
All right. List of pornographic actresses by decade. I don't want to get in trouble that this is on my computer.
I'm looking at it, too. Do you see the woman from the 50s? There's one.
What's her name?
Who would that be?
Candy Barr.
Oh,
her name
my
is Candy Barr?
God. Candy yeah. Barr
but I think
was
she
born
was,
in 1935.
I think she was a stripper.
Stripper, burlesque dancer,
right.
Actress, and adult model in Men's Magazine.
But then you're right. There's nobody listed for the 60s, and then the 70s, you know, they start.
It happened in the 70s.
Yeah.
That
she
industry.
Had relationships with Mickey Cohen and Jack Ruby.
Oh, wow.
Candy Barr. That is the perfect name.
How perfect is that?
God, I went in the wrong business.
She's sweet, and she's nuts.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
That wasn't Wendy's punchline, Kim, but nice play.
Thank God Kim Gordon can clean it up for
save
me.
Save the day.
Yeah, you're
Kim,
right.
Save
and
the day.
Again, I don't trust Wikipedia at all, but it is 1950s, Candy Barr, and then no one till the 70s. Andrea True, Annette Haven, Annie Sprinkle, Bodie Johnson, C.J. Lang, Candida Royale, Carol
right
Connors.
Now, there's a guy listening somewhere going, yep, yep,
check.
Yep, know her, know her.
Georgina
know her.
Spelvin, Gloria Leonard.
Gloria Leonard, I think, wrote a book about the industry, I think.
Juliet Anderson, Candy Barber, Kay Parker.
Candy what? Barber is very close to Candy Barr.
Maybe that was her daughter.
Right.
Linda Lovelace, that's the only
she's
one I
famous.
Knew. Yeah.
From which movie was she in?
Behind the Green Door.
I think that was Marilyn Chambers.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I did see that. I've seen like two pornos in my entire life. And one I watched because we were friends with Seika.
Yes.
She was at the Loop and was a very
was
nice woman.
One of the top adult film stars. You couldn't say porn around her. You had to say
right.
adult films.
Well, there's a difference.
Yep. What is the difference again? I don't know it.
Don't know. I can't say. I don't think I can say what Linda Lovelace was in. Deep something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
How could I forget
Deep
that?
Deep Throat.
Yes. Serena, Seika, Renee Bond. Bond. Yep. Renee Bond.
Yep.
And then in the 80s, Amber Lynn. I've heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger Lynn.
Mm-hmm. The Lynn sisters.
Portia Lynn.
Really?
Yeah,
so if your name wasn't Lynn, you couldn't be in the adult film industry in the 80s?
There's three Lynns, and then Tracy Lords, you remember her? Yes, you do.
Yes.
Why do we
I
know her?
So.
Born Nora Louise Kuzma.
That's why.
American actress, singer, model, writer, producer, and director.
Mm-hmm. But none of these women, is there an asterisk by any of their names saying that they had a relationship with any current U.S. president?
No.
It just wasn't done. Donald Trump's a trailblazer, Wendy. Like it or not, the man is a trailblazer.
Ginger Lynn used to live with Charlie Sheen, by the way. That's why we know that name.
Oh,
I did,
really?
Yeah, I remember that now.
But wait, if she was an adult film star in the 70s...
No, that was the 2000s.
Oh.
I moved forward.
Oh.
Did you just lose your breath?
Yeah.
I
did. I stopped breathing. Because I know Charlie Sheen.
That's right. You worked with him a couple of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point. All right. We have to take a break.
A break and then more show. So stick around. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Before we switch topics, in the last half hour, we were talking about the possibility that the President of the United States had a dalliance with an adult film star.
Good word.
Thank you.
Enjoy it.
So we started talking about how is it possible that other presidents could have ever done something like this, and we were trying to figure out exactly when the adult film industry took place. Did it start in the 60s or the 70s? And as we were talking about it, I thought, boy, this is really we're shooting for a low percentage here. There's a lot of people listening who have no idea what we're talking about. I think we got a record number of texts, Wendy, in the last half hour from people going, hey, what about this woman? What about this guy? What about her? What about him?
Andrea True, adult actress, more, more, more. Number one hit disco song in the 70s from Harold.
Well, I didn't know that.
Imagine FDR in his wheelchair chasing a girl in a hotel room.
Nope. I refuse to.
You know the name Tracy Lords because she was found to be underage when she did movies.
All right. So what I remember about her is, now I used to manage a video store, and a good portion of our business, not the majority, but a good portion of our business was guys coming in because they had to, it was their job to bring a bunch of movies to a bachelor party. And then they'd come in the next week with the same story, and then they'd come in 2 weeks later with the same story. These are not for me, but they gave me the job of coming in. I have to get five movies for a bachelor party. So this one, I don't know, this one and this one.
How could you look at them?
Why?
Because they don't even... Listen, I am the queen of offering way too much information.
Yeah.
But if I was going behind the curtain, as they say,
yes,
I wouldn't say anything. I would just go grab what I needed. And
well, that
leave.
Was the weird thing is whenever they would tell me this story, and I can't tell you how many times I managed this store for 3 years. So 150 or 160 times guys would come in with that same story.
Men are pigs.
A friend of mine is getting married. They put this on me. I don't want to do this. I've never done anything like this before, right. But I need five guy movies for a bachelor party. And then every once in a while, a woman would come in and say, this is for my boyfriend sent me in. Here's a list of movies. I don't know. He sent me. I don't know. But I didn't need, like, I always put myself in their place going, why even tell the guy anything? Why tell me anything? Just pick out the movies and take them home. I'm not going to make a judgment call.
Because people talk when they feel guilty. They feel the need to say something.
Oh, I bet that's it.
Because that's why I talk all the time. I feel guilty about everything. I do. I offer way too much information. But that, I don't think, I don't know. Knowing me now, I would probably do, my boyfriend sent me to get this. What do you recommend? And then I'd twirl my hair.
But there was some of that. There was an amount of hair twirling.
We like to call the adult film stores Linguini because when we were in Nashville, Dylan, it was just 4 years ago. I mean, he was 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And, or maybe it was Michael. One of my boys said, saw lingerie and X-rated films and the word all lit up lingerie. And they said, Linguini. And I said, that is not linguine. It was hard to read. It was cursive. So now we call all the adult film stores linguine.
Yeah. And which is what they call them in code. Italy, too. You know that? There was one.
Linguine.
There was one guy who used to rent from us about every other week. And he would always rent three movies. And he would always.
A threefer. A triple play.
Three for Sutherland. That was the guy's name. And then he would always. Return to on time and keep another one 3 or 4 days late every single of every other week when he'd come in.
Did you restock those wearing rubber gloves?
No.
I wouldn't touch them.
But it always made me like I was always curious as to, you know.
It's hard to watch three movies in a row.
Sure.
You get burnt out.
I'm sure that's what it was because the plots, you know, are so. Hard to follow that he probably had to rewatch it just to go, oh, that guy, that's his neighbor. Oh.
I love how pizza is always involved.
Not always, but many times. There will be some.
That's why I like to get it delivered. Jim likes to pick them up.
Wow. Well, I now know more about you and Jim than I wanted to know, Wendy. I'll be honest with you.
Sorry.
All right. All right. So, So congrats to all the listeners for texting in.
Oh, there were more. Ginger Lynn was from Rockford.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Local girl made good.
I don't know if she was that good.
When you and I were at Q101, we had an adult film star on who was also from somewhere in the Chicagoland area who our producer was a huge fan of. And neither you nor I had ever heard of her, but we got a lot of phone calls that day. She was very, very popular. Do you remember her?
I have no idea.
I don't remember her.
I'm surprised you don't.
I don't remember the name. But I do know that our producer, like, you know how we were with Richard Lewis earlier?
Yeah.
That's how our producer was with her.
And we said yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, we were desperate for guests.
Well, it actually, you know, because I'm not kidding when I say this, it's a very curious way to make a living, and there was no shortage of questions from you or me or the listeners, because there's always, you go.
I am intrigued by it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. But you're right.
Right.
There are a lot of unanswered questions.
There are a lot of unanswered questions.
You should try, as you mentioned off the air, to track down Seika. We knew her very well.
Seika was one of the top adult film stars of her day. And then she moved to Chicago and she had a radio show.
With Stan Lawrence called Let's Talk About Sex.
Yes.
And what I liked about it is she was really herself and would be bawdy and would answer questions. And Stan Lawrence was very... meticulous about running the show properly, and it was really kind of a great
nice combination.
Mix. It was.
Yeah.
We got to find her, Jasmine. We got to find where Seika is.
So do you remember this? This was when you and I worked at The Loop years and years ago, and there was somebody, I'm not going to say his name on the air, but somebody worked at The Loop. Somebody was on the air at The Loop and picked a day to bring his new in-laws into The Loop for a tour of The Loop, and Seika was there recording her show, and his new father-in-law passed in the hallway past Seika and just got nuts. It's like, it's Seika! It's Seika! He got so excited.
That.
And then his wife is like, where do you know her from? And he
Uh-oh.
Had to try to... from stuff. She's famous from doing stuff. That woman, Seika, I guess her name might be. I don't know.
God, I don't remember who that was.
Yeah.
Huh. Gonna wreck my brain right about
no,
that.
No, there's no reason to. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back. There's more show. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, somebody is questioning me. I said I've only seen a couple of pornos. It might be more than that. I don't care. I'll say it loud. Say it proud. Not that proud.
A couple of them, you said?
Yeah, but he said, or someone texted, I'm assuming it's a guy texting. Wendy says she's only seen a couple of pornos, but she knew to go behind the curtain. That's just something people said. I never actually...
Right.
Would go rent one.
No. But if someone gave you one as a gift, it'd be rude to not watch it and fill out a report.
Well, I never went myself to get one. Perhaps it was people I was with that had one.
Right.
But, I mean, doesn't everybody know there's a curtain in a video store without having gone behind it?
Well, our video store didn't have one. It was the case.
The beads?
Yeah, there were beads.
You know the hippie beads that you put in the doorway?
No, the one I managed a video store in Downers Grove. So the first 8 cases were regular movies. There were, you know, the first 2 cases were new releases.
When you walk in.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first ones were new releases, and then the next 6 were like, you know, movies that have been around for a while in alphabetical order and in theme. And then the last 2 were your adult films. But there was no separation.
See, that's better. Because, you know, if you have to go in a secret area, you'd feel
right
dirty.
Yeah. But I do remember that every once in a while, people would come in and they'd gravitate towards, you know, the movies that were still in the regular movie section, but your W's, X's, Y's, and Z's.
No, because you're closer to the
yeah,
other ones.
Yeah, so they could just kind of glance over and see what was... In the other 2 cases.
Who does it hurt?
You'd see somebody lingering there, you know, by the W, X, Y, and Z case going, that guy's been there a long time. You know, move over 12 inches and you can see the adult films if you want.
Don't say 12 inches.
You know what I mean.
And that's where that joke came. X, Y, Z, P, D, Q. Examine your zipper pretty darn quick.
Oh. Is that where it came from? From the video store I managed in Downers Grove?
What was the name of it?
District Video.
Ah. I don't know that I recall.
Coupons have expired, everybody. Can't bring them in anymore. Sorry.
I found we were cleaning out the basement as we were cleaning things to get construction work done. Found a couple of Blockbuster videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think we're in trouble.
You're the reason they went out of business.
I know.
When we opened our store in Downers Grove, we were one of 7 video stores within a 5-mile radius.
Like family-owned ones, or there were some big-time ones, too?
There was a Blockbuster, and there was a... Not Suncoast. Was it called West Coast? There was some other California-themed video store. And then there were a lot of like smaller mom-and-pop type video stores. But they were just in every direction. No matter which route you took, there was another video store or 2. And now, if
Family Video is still around.
They're still around, and there's another... I'm trying to think of the other chain.
But you know what I saw? I was going to rehab for my knee, and I drive past this Family Video, and it says, digital downloads now available. Aren't they hurting themselves by offering that? Or do you pay for it there and get a code?
Because
that confused me.
Because I think you could do that without using a video store. You just go through your... computer.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I would think. And when Jimmy Mack first started out in radio, he was a producer for the Jonathan Brandmeier show, Graham. And whenever you needed audio from a movie, you couldn't just go to YouTube like producers today do.
Right.
Jim would have to go rent movies like all over the place. And we'd sit there and watch it. And it was so annoying watching a movie with him because he'd be like, wait, I have to grab this audio. And then you'd go back to watching the movie.
Yeah.
But that's why we found the Blockbuster. He has just so many VHS tapes. We could open our own video store.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to reopen District Video?
I've thought about it.
We could let you manage it.
I,
We have so many tapes.
I know that downloading is easier for people, but I miss just going, I want
to
see two movies, I'll go,
It's like a bookstore.
Yeah. And if you try doing, what's the one that's in Jewel? What's the one
Redbox?
Redbox. There's always somebody behind you that's in a hurry. Like, you can't really, there's no browsing time available. You kind of have to know what you want going in. But I just,
I like to browse.
Walking around going, oh, I haven't seen that in a while, or I've heard that was good. I've never seen that.
You have to go, what do I have a taste for?
Right.
While you're in Redbox.
Physically make that lip smacking noise.
You do.
And everyone's in a hurry now. There's no time for that.
It's not right.
But I miss the days where you would just go to the video store and find a couple things.
Yeah, but see, here's the deal. Like, back in the day when I used to go to Rolling Stone Records and go straight to the back and get the cutouts because they were only like $4.99.
Yeah.
I used to get to a record store, and honest to God, I would go, I forgot what music I like. So you do need to browse to see.
I think so, too.
So seeing a movie, I can't recall right now movies that I wanted to see that I haven't seen yet. I don't keep a running list in my head.
Right.
So you need to browse.
One other quick thing about this. On my way back from Mexico last week, the woman sitting next to me on one side was watching a movie on her phone, and the guy sitting next to me on the other side was watching a movie on his phone. Now, I, to this day, have still never downloaded or watched a movie on my phone, and I don't think I ever will, because there's no way in the world that they could get the same experience watching it on a 4-inch screen than you get watching it on a huge screen.
It's not an experience. You want to see the movie.
But doesn't it kind of cheapen it? Doesn't it water it down? Neither of them seem to be enjoying it. They're both squinting and holding it up and trying to get a beat on it, and I'm going, just go to a theater or watch it at home. And
yeah, but
see
they're
it
on a plane right then. It kills time. I say...
I can't do it.
I watch most of my stuff on my iPad.
Do you? And
yeah.
And it's as enjoyable to you on a small screen like that?
I don't think about it. I just want to see the actual content. A phone would be difficult, but that's what these kids today do. They watch it on their phone.
Neither of these were kids. The woman was older than me. The guy was younger than me by maybe 4 or 5 years.
They didn't have an iPad. Otherwise, they would have been watching that.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't bother me.
It doesn't?
No, I mean, it's like better than not being able to see the movie.
I just think with all the work that went into the movie, you're almost doing it an injustice by watching it so small.
You're a film snob.
No, I am.
And that's good, and you should be.
I don't think there will ever be a day, no matter how badly I want to see the movie, that I have to watch it on a phone.
On your deathbed.
Won't do it. I have strict instructions.
If they don't roll in a big screen TV, you're not watching it?
Do not resuscitate and do not show me The Shape of Water on a phone. I want to see it on a big screen. All right, we'll take a break. You know who's coming by? Steve Bertrand, Wendy. When's the last time you talked to Steve Bertrand? Earlier today.
Yeah.
All right, so Steve will come
by. We have like a 20-second break, so we still have time to
fill. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Family Video in LaGrange Park is closing down in March. That's the one that said now offering video downloads. I think they did
it
to
themselves out of business.
For digital downloads.
There's still a small sampling of video stores near me. Now, they're not close by. I'm in Evanston, where a couple of short years ago, I think we had 4 or 5 full-time video stores. You can go in anytime you wanted to. One of them was right by my house, and it was fantastic. I mean, they had tons and tons of old stuff, and one by one by one, they're just gone, and it's horrible.
All right, well, somebody has a suggestion for you. Use the Redbox app. I know you don't download apps, but then you can pick the movie of your choice in advance and then just go pick it up. So you can browse on the app.
But with Redbox, they always have about 100 titles. They have like 60.
Yeah, but you punch in the location.
So they'll even give me old stuff too?
Whatever is available. Right. I mean, you can browse on the app and then order it. You can look through and pre-order your tapes and then just go to the box and pick them up.
All right, that's not bad.
And I should say that I'm going to physical therapy, not rehab. That's what I'm supposed to be saying. And that's probably, thank you, Len, it's probably right.
I think you were right the first time.
Not this time.
No. All right. In just a few moments, Wendy and I will head toward the stream. If you've not downloaded the stream, it's easy to do. Just go to WGNradio.com. They'll show you how to do it. They'll walk you through it. It only takes a minute or two. Or you can stay right where you are and listen to Steve in the Wintrust Business Lunch. He'll be by in just a minute to tell you what's coming up. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.